Hello and welcome to Read It With Whiskey. My name is Laura Jensen and I am your host. I am a self-published author and an avid reader. I absolutely love bringing this podcast to you every single week. And we are starting season two. But before I jump into how important season two is, I want to tell you a little bit about the interview we are going to be featuring in this episode. Today I am talking with Jack Casey. Jack Casey was born in Santa Barbara, California. He loved playing pretend growing up, swinging a sword around and facing his darkest fears through imagination. He loved getting lost in the worlds of books, movies, and video games, finding his true calling in writing. Jack began writing when he was 17 years old, and he wanted to tell a story about a young man and woman questioning their world and trying to find their own independence. Jack now lives with his wife in Washington, where they work together on the series. So 10 years to the day after starting that first chapter back when he was in Texas, he at last presented us The Royal Green. And that is the book that we're going to be talking about today. So here's what The Royal Green is all about. 1,000 years since the children of Mother left the garden, the Millennium Kingdom is on the brink of civil war. Magic is forbidden by the Queen, but that will not stop the Duke Dareth. Records of the ancients are almost as dangerous as their weapons, and Her Majesty is prepared to use the elite knights of sword to intervene. Prince Jadian does not want his throne, but is even more reluctant to let his mother continue to wield its power. Carethiel, the Duke's daughter, does not want her father's plans for revolution to succeed. Playing the role of spies in arranged marriage may keep the peace, or only bring their parents closer to the edge. Archelaus, captain of sword, has sworn to protect a throne he has no legitimate claim to, even at the cost of his life. Evra, orphan become pirate, has sworn to reclaim at any cost her lost treasure, the prince himself. All plans are overthrown in the wake of a star falling from the sky, bringing an ancient with it. The sorcerer has returned. The garden awaits. Great Mother watches and beckons. There is no more time for role-playing games. Together or apart, Jadian and Carethiel will become the best hope for and the closest threat to the rule of the Royal Green. I am so excited for you guys to hear this interview with Jack. I absolutely had a blast talking with him. So let's get into it. Welcome to Read It With Whiskey, the interview podcast featuring science fiction and fantasy authors. My name is Laura Jentinen, your host and the author of the Shockwave series. I am also a book club moderator, speaker, and avid reader, truly invested in every author's story. Within this podcast, I bring to you, the reader, all the behind-the-scenes secrets to how these guest indie authors bring their books into the world. If you are a sci-fi fantasy reader, then you need to hear from these authors. Let's learn about the person behind the page. Sit back, sip some whiskey, and lean in to these self-published authors. It is time for a Laura J. Live update. So usually when I do my Laura J. Live updates, I'm talking about my writing, my editing, various podcast information, behind the scenes content. But today we're going to be talking about this huge milestone that we just hit. You guys, this is the first episode of season two. The Read It With Whiskey podcast was born out of passion back in November 2020. All I wanted to do was read books and talk to the authors of those books. I really didn't know where the podcast was going to go, but I knew that I just wanted to have these conversations. Being a self-published author is difficult in itself. Having an entire business to run when you don't really know what you're doing is quite scary. And that, unfortunately, is where a lot of self-published and indie authors lie. They start writing and then they're like, oh my gosh, what do I do? How do I do marketing? How do I sell my books? How do I get people to learn about these stories so they're invested to actually read the book, to buy the book, right? It's difficult. It's a really difficult process. I've gone through it myself, having multiple self-published books now. So the beginning of this podcast was to talk to authors about their books and hopefully spread that to the world. Plus, I really wanted to just read all of these books and now it gave me an excuse, right? So that's how the podcast was born, completely out of passion. And as it evolved, it grew into something so much more than I could even imagine. The Read It With Whiskey podcast has become so much more than just a passion project. The podcast has expanded into Patreon. So now I have this entire Patreon community where we talk even more details than you're getting here on the podcast. I want to bring more spoilers to the Patreon account as well as we get into season two. So definitely keep an eye out. If you're not a patron right now, why aren't you? Becoming a patron is basically like being a sponsor of the show. If you want Read It With Whiskey to continue to grow and continue on to go to season 3, season 4, season 5, season 10, then you should become a sponsor today. All you have to do is go to www.patreon.com/readitwithwhiskey, and you can choose from 3 different tiers. The first tier is the listener tier. So this is where you're going to get all of the episodes early. You're going to get early content. You're going to be able to listen in before the world does, which is super exciting. This is a great place for you to join if you really just want to help me with the journey, but you don't really care about the extra nuts and bolts. You just want to make sure that this podcast continues. The second tier is Listener Plus, and this is where you're going to get exclusive bonus episodes, and those have to do with not only my own writing, but also my own reading. So I give you Laura J. Live author updates on a monthly basis where you can learn about what I am doing in my own writing world, but I also do monthly BIR episodes, books I read. So I talk about all the books that I read the month prior, and a lot of the books that I read are actually books that are going to be featured later on in the podcast. So it gives you a little snippet into what's going to be happening in the future, which is really, really cool. So those bonus episodes are all under the Listener Plus, and this is a great tier for you to be in if you want to listen to the episodes, but you want to learn more about my personal author journey. This is great for you. And tier 3 is the Mac Daddy of all of them. This is the viewer tier. The viewer tier gets the exclusive video content of all of the guest interviews. And this is really, really cool because in the episodes that are going out to the public, they don't have all of what we talk about in the episodes. So for example, a couple of the episodes, we talk about spoilers. We talk about things that probably shouldn't be out unless you've read the book. So if you want to learn about spoilers before reading the book, or if you've read the book and you want to hear about the author's take of those spoilers, then you definitely want to be able to have that video content at your fingertips. So the viewer tier gets all of the video content as well as videos and photos from when I do whiskey tastings and things like that. The viewer tier gets a lot more content in regards to whiskey, which is kind of like the sister section of the podcast. Obviously, Read It With Whiskey. I talk about whiskey on all the episodes. However, the viewer membership tier definitely gets more access to the whiskey content. So those are the 3 different tiers that you can join on Patreon. Listener, Listener Plus, and Viewer. It's only a couple dollars a month, and it's well worth it if you are invested in learning about authors and helping them grow their business, if you absolutely love sci-fi and fantasy, or if you want to go back and catch up on content that you missed from season 1. I definitely urge you to get in there, and I just plead with you to help me out, help me grow this podcast. If you've been listening, you definitely want to jump in. All right, so that is the Laura J. Live update for this week. Thank you so much for coming into season 2. We are hot and on fire in this episode. This book was so much fun to talk to Jack about, and I'm so excited for you guys to listen in. So here we go. This episode of the Read It With Whiskey podcast is brought to you by Coffee Over Cardio. I've been using Coffee Over Cardio for a really long time, and I'm so excited to be an affiliate with them. So there is a link in the bio, but if you want to go there on your own, all you got to do is use my code 10LauraJLive. That's 10 LauraJAYLIVE, and you will get 10% off your order. Jack Casey, and welcome to the Read It With Whiskey podcast. How are you doing today?
Hi, good. It's good to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on because we are going to talk all about your book, The Royal Green. We might even get into a little bit of what the book 2 and 3 are going to be about. But before we dive into all of that, I would love for you to tell all of our listeners, why did you decide that you wanted to be a writer?
Oh, man. I mean, I was always like, kid who was, you know, I'd be playing with my action figures and I would be inventing entire backstories behind them and, you know, creating an entire world in my head just playing growing up. So I was always like kind of a storyteller, and I would write stories but never quite finish them usually. It was only later that I had started this one when I was 17. I started the first chapter and I kind of let it sit for a while in my head and hadn't quite gotten back to it. And then a few years later, I came back to it and was like, you know, I want to finish this one. I want to actually do this and actually put it out there. So I made myself a promise to finish it and publish it within 10 years of having started the first chapter. And funny enough, that's exactly how long it took for me to finally do it and put it out there.
That is some dedication. 10 years. So tell me, like, what was that process like? Was it a little bit of writing here, a little bit of writing there? Did you forget about it for 5 years, or was it an ongoing process?
Yeah, it was after starting that chapter and taking like 2-3 years to just kind of think about it and let the story stuff come together. And at that time, you know, when I started it, I was kind of at that age of like trying to question things and, you know, about your beliefs or ideas about the world, or, you know, thinking about things like that. And so I took some time to meditate on that and then went back to finishing it. And I mean, I wrote the first draft in about 1.5 years, but then I sat on that and was writing the sequels or later editing for many years after. So it was only, and of course, working up the nerve to actually put it out there, publish it and self-publish. Yeah, once I did that, it was 10 years to the day. It was pretty cool. Felt like I was keeping that promise to myself when I was growing up.
Yeah. And so you decided self-publishing. So tell us, why did you decide to do self-publishing?
Yeah, I had thought about doing the traditional way. I went to one of those writer, you know, conferences, you know, did the query letters and whatnot. And after like maybe 1 year of that or 2, I quickly could see that independently publishing it or self-publishing it was going to be better for me. I think on the one hand, I like having creative control. I didn't want to give up too much of the rights, but also I just didn't, you know, I wanted to do it my way. So that good or bad, it was resting on my shoulders, and I could do it my way. You know, I think I just have sort of an independent streak, so that seemed fitting.
Exactly. That's a common thread with all the guests on the podcast. We want control. And so indie publishing, it just makes sense. So you have The Royal Green. You also have its sequel out, which is In Silver Throned. And then your third book is coming out this summer, Crowned by Gold. So we're not going to dive into books 2 and 3 too much today, but I would love for you to tell our listeners, what is The Royal Green about?
Oh man, let's see. I mean, it's got the sort of arranged marriage scenario. You have this prince and this duke's daughter. The prince has this, you know, controlling, authoritative mother figure in the queen. The duke's daughter is concerned about her father, the duke, and his sort of potential plans for revolution, or, you know, some sort of pushback against the crown. And so these two, the prince and duke's daughter, are being kind of pushed together to try and keep some sort of peace between these two sides. And so there's some of that kind of spying political intrigue there, but they're also asking big questions about what they want for themselves and their lives, you know, whether or not they want to play the roles that they've been given by their parents. So on the one hand, there's this tension of trying to prevent a civil war, but also a lot of personal discovery, like they're trying to find their own sense of freedom and independence and what they want out of their lives too.
There's so much that happens within this book. And I gotta say, when I was reading it, because for those of you who are watching the video version, this is the book and it is meaty. It's like over thick. This is a huge book. And so even in just what you said just now, I'm like, oh, there's so much more that people don't even know.
No, I'm like, how far do I?
I know. It's like,
it is like an onion. You keep peeling back the layers and it's going to keep pulling you along. It's a new plot and character developments for sure.
So where did the inspiration for this book come from? Because there's so many different intertwining parts. And so is there like one thing that inspired you to write this entire story, or was it kind of a mashup of a couple different things?
A lot of it was unplanned. I'll typically have a sort of, you know, ending in mind, or I know kind of where I want to go. But this was at the time of me writing it, not only when I started at 17, but when I finished more of it around 21. And it was a lot of inner kind of soul searching. I was really asking questions kind of in my own life about everything from spiritual questions, political questions, personal ethical questions and things. And just at that time of your life when you're trying to find yourself and figure out what you really believe and why. And so I think seeing the characters go through that was sort of me wrestling with that internally, but also trying to relate it to, you know, for other people in the world too, because we've all been there where we're, you know, trying to figure out what we want and why and where our responsibilities are, or, you know, where we want to be more free and stuff. So there was a lot of kind of internal soul searching, self-conscious kind of talking to me, but also as I was going, figuring out how can I tell this in a story that people can enjoy too and relate to.
Yeah, it sounds like you put a lot of your own internal struggle and battle and just life into these characters and kind of had them play out like almost like a fantasy of what could be in your brain. Does that make sense? Did that make sense just now?
Yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah, it's, I think of it a lot like dreams or nightmares. Like they tell you things, right? It's from your own subconscious. You're kind of watching it happen. In some cases, you're influencing your own dreams, but it's like you're talking to yourself and hearing things you weren't necessarily able to express as clearly until you saw it in that sort of fictional fantasy dream form. And you're like, oh yeah, maybe that is what I think or believe, or maybe this is, you know, so the characters kind of manifest a lot of those things, but I hope too that they're as real to people as they were to me when I discovered them. You know, you kind of meet them too and they surprise you and you're like, oh wow, feels like I've visited this other world and now I'm trying to describe my experience there.
Right, exactly. And let's dive into the characters a little bit because I had some favorites of my own and I always like to ask the author, who is your favorite character within the book?
Oh man, oh, that's so tough. I think a part of me, I mean, obviously, you know, the main two whose perspectives it follows is Jadeen and Caratheal, the prince and the duke's daughter. But it's clear pretty early on that the other characters play significant roles too. On the one hand, I like writing the characters whose thoughts you can see, but I also love when you see characters, you know, like Archelaus and Evra and the others, where you're having to guess along with the two main characters what they're thinking or, you know, how they really feel. And so I like that some of those characters are fun because there's more mystery to them as you're writing them for the reader. But then I also enjoy, you know, Jadeen Caratheal getting to see in their head and the funny thoughts or, you know, miscommunications or things that happen because of that. So it's really tough to say.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. And I always relate really hard to the main characters whenever I read a book, but there's always the subcategory character where I'm like, I really like that person because they're strong or they have some kind of characteristic about them where I'm just drawn towards them. Like they're either a protector or something like that. And so I really, really connected to Evra. She was probably my favorite character out of everybody. And so anytime she was in the scene, I was like, oh yes.
And so good.
I just really liked her because she kind of was like, if it doesn't work out, I'm going to do my own thing. Like I want to be my own person. I want to take control. And I really like that strong type of personality. And I'm a rebel. Like my personality has a lot of rebel in it. And so relating to her rebellion tendencies was really, really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. She's great. She definitely represented the kind of character who had clearly found their independence and sense of freedom. And you're watching Jadeen Caratheal struggle with their own. And here you have example, someone who has kind of made it and is doing her own thing, but is also obviously attached to or involved with the other characters. And that she kind of, represents that sort of successfully free person, you know, who's doing what she's going to do and going through her own struggles too. But, I liked writing her too. I will admit, as far as favorite characters to write, maybe like, because it's not, I can never choose favorite character, that it's like children, but as far as probably the most fun to write because of the scenes, I do have to admit now, definitely Galroy. The scenes in the theater, I think, are always fun just because Galroy has such a witty banter dialogue, twisty turny way of, you know, messing with people's minds. That's always fun to do to kind of, it may be a little biased too because he's sort of a storyteller as well, but as like a character with a minor role, in this book, that one being a fun one too.
Those were fun scenes to read because I was so confused and in a good way. I was like, what's going to happen kind of thing. There's so many different characters and I mean, it's a big book. There's going to be a lot of characters that you have to learn about and experience as you read through. Mm-hmm. And so obviously we won't hit all of them. But one of the really big, important characters who's not actually a central, like we don't see them doing anything, but is a big character is Great Mother or their spiritual kind of deity. Yeah. And so explain to our readers, who is she and what is her significance in the story? I know that's a loaded question, but go for it.
Ooh, yeah. See how much to say or not say. I guess you're seeing a world where they have a belief, a religion, and you're seeing the ways it influences certain characters who are either who believe in it or some who very much don't. And I think that's often I think I'd like to touch on is how much people who can pull the good or bad from anything, you know, whether it's a belief system or from whether it's political views, religious views, and so forth, and to have characters who are very much influenced by something like whether or not they believe in the religion of their time, or whether they whether that guides their life, or whether they're questioning things about it. And I think at some point we all go through various forms of, you know, at some point sort of losing or maybe rediscovering our religion or beliefs, whether they're actually spiritual or not. You know, I think we're constantly going through a sense of change and evolving and trying to question what's real, what's not, and what you've been taught that you want to take with you and what you want to leave behind. And I think so in that sense, the Great Mother character, that idea really does have a big impact on shaping the characters and what they're wrestling with too.
Yeah, definitely. That was very well said. Exactly. Exactly what I was shooting for. Because that was something that, I mean, it's strung throughout the entire book, because there's entire rebellion who are against believing or non-believing. And so there's this rivalry within the worlds. Speaking of worlds, the whole world building process that you must have gone through to create where these people are, their setting and their time. After I finished it, I went back and I was like, is there a map of this place? Because I need to see where everything is. Is there a map that you've created, or is this just in your brain?
There are several poorly drawn maps I've made. I've strongly considered getting an official one into book three, because it's one of the most requested things. It's certainly to avoid any confusion, if there ever is any, about where they are, how far away things are from each other. But yeah, I think I could do an official map at some point. I hope to make it into book three, or if not, maybe I can put it on the website or have some other way for people to access it. And then I could always add it into the books in a future edition. You know, I think my concern was that if I overcommitted to one map, I was worried if I had to tweak or change something as I put these out, I wouldn't want to actually be like, oops, I got to change the geography to make sure that this makes sense a little bit, you know? So I held back a bit, but I'm totally open to doing a map, because that would be cool to help visualize it.
I think that would be really cool, because as I was reading, like, there was this one specific part where they're in my brain, I was like, I saw them going through a desert and they had to basically avoid being caught and then go in a different direction. And so I'm trying to see all this in my brain, and I'm like, I know how I see it, but I would be intrigued to see where you see it on the map. I'm
you've
one of those
got the napkin out and you're like drawing it. You're like, hold on, okay, let me orient this. So they're here, and yeah, that's me often while writing it too. I'm like, hold on, what? Let me visualize this.
I think that's one of the really hard parts about creating your own world in fantasy, is making sure it actually makes sense and everything connects the correct way.
Yes.
And so creating that world is just really tough. So what was that process like? Was it easy to just like dive into this world? Had you been thinking about it so much that it was more like a reality in your dream to yourself? Or did you have to create stuff as you went?
Yeah, some of both. I think definitely because there's so much focus on the characters and how sometimes they represent certain ideas or beliefs, or maybe they're from a location that conveys a certain attitude. So sometimes, honestly, the places I wanted to be as much kind of a personality that's either reflected in one of the characters as well, or at least sets the tone for maybe what I want to do with certain characters. So whether it's the Duke in Vinlish and his whole thing, or, you know, the northern provinces and where their loyalties are, and definitely the weather or setting or mood at certain times plays a factor like that. So that kind of helped in my shaping some of that.
Yeah,
try and fit with certain characters or moments in the story where I'm like, that'd be cool if they were in this setting right now. Because I mean, there's always the rule of cool. If it's cool, do it, but also make it make sense from a story thematic standpoint, for sure.
And something I really liked about your world, well, it's fantasy, so there's magical components. And our characters have basically like little Bluetooth radios, but they're gems, they're gemstones.
I've got a jewel in my ear right now. Yeah.
Yeah. This is just, it's so fun because like in fantasy, you just think, okay, they have to send a messenger on a horse and that's how they're going to communicate. But you're like, nope, we're going to bring magic in.
Yeah.
They can talk through their jewelry. So where did that idea come from?
I've always loved the thought of, I feel like we often live in a time where we have what is effectively magic all around us. I mean, what we're doing right now may as well be magic. And I love the thought that we can relate things that we do in this world to how magical that kind of thing really is, if you could see that in another world, you know, and even the concept of communication, like if for all the powerful magic you can have, the ability to communicate instantly across long distances is tremendous and plays a part in the story and the plot, you know, to be able to talk to each other or, yeah. And of course, it's using the spying element too and whatnot. So it was fun to play with. And I just like the idea of them, you know, kind of going like this with like a ring and talking and then
it's very James recreating Bond-esque.
The kind of thing we do. Yeah, exactly.
But I really liked it because
fantasy James Bond.
Every fantasy, there's always like, oh, you can see through the wishing well and you can see through the magic mirror and you can see everybody, mm-hmm. but you can't necessarily hear them. And so it was just a different component that it's like, duh, why can't they do that kind of stuff? This is your world, right. Build it how you want it. I just really enjoyed
magic
it.
Cell phones.
Book two is already out. That came out in October 2020. So we're just about almost a year since that one published. So without giving away exactly what happens at the end of book one, can you tell the readers what book two is about in a big picture scheme?
I'll say this. You see certain characters who have different arcs or paths they're on, and you do get to return to those characters and follow up. I think the first one ends in such a way where, and I wanted each book to be like this, where you could kind of leave it there. Like it had a satisfying enough conclusion that for better or worse for each character, you could see it ending there and kind of leaving the door open. And then of course with each sequel, it picks up and does more. Yeah, I think if there's questions you had at the end of the first book about a lot of the sort of mysteries that are, some of them are left unsolved or unanswered fully, it follows that. It leans into that and you're going to see these characters, the repercussions of the things that happened at the end of the first book, how that plays out in the world, how that plays out for them personally, trying to deal with the things that went down in the first mm-hmm. book. I think it'll satisfy those questions.
Okay, because I know I have a lot of questions and I'm like, I just got to dive into book two because book three is going to be coming out. So I gotta keep on pace here. It's a loaded book. There's so much in it, but it was so much fun to read. And even though it's really big, I read it pretty fast just because I was so enthralled in it throughout the entire story. But that was something I was wondering though too, is that like you just said, the Royal Green could be a standalone. It could just end right there. I feel like, I mean, yeah, there's a bunch of questions that I still have that I'm like, sure. I want to know. But when you were writing it, did you know it was going to be one of three or did you think it could be just a standalone book?
That's a good question. I think I'd always wanted to do sequels, but I knew that feeling of, I mean, I think a part of me was trying to focus much on the first book that I wanted to tell each one where it could end there either. I mean, maybe sometimes afraid, like, what if something happened to me and I couldn't finish these? Like, I would hate for people to feel like it was a total cliffhanger. So I wanted to always have some kind of sense of conclusion or some kind of thing that the reader could be left with. And especially because if they had to wait at the time, I didn't know if they'd have to wait a while between books. I didn't know how fast they'd put them out at first. And so I wanted it to be satisfying and not, you know, torturous to wait, even though maybe it still is. I don't know.
No, you succeeded in that because all of the things that were in this story, they concluded, but there's still mysteries that could be solved. And that is where obviously it goes into book two. So I really liked it because I can put this one down and then pick up the second one and I can be like, okay, now I'm in for like a whole nother journey. And I just really liked that. I thought it was very smooth how you transitioned. We would talk about too many details if we went on any longer. So I'm going to have us wrap up. This would not be Read It With Whiskey without talking a little bit about whiskey. So Jack, what is your favorite whiskey to drink?
You know, it's funny too. I was thinking, I was like, I should have a glass with me. My favorite though, I hadn't tried much like top shelf whiskey for a while until last year. I had Basil Hayden's. That was really good. But as far as my regular go-to, you know, anything for Wild Turkey or I usually rotate. Sometimes I'll make cocktails with it or I'll sip it straight. Depends. I'm in all the above. I'll drink whiskey, any kind of liquor. Here, so I like to rotate and there's always something new.
There you go. See, I knew we would be friends. We have the same taste in whiskey. Just any.
All the above. Which kind would you like? Yes. Yes.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, Jack, tell us, where can people buy your book and where can they follow along with your author journey?
So the website is theroyalgreen.com, named after the book. You can order it there. You can get it directly from Amazon. I mostly on the website have like the summaries and teaser things for the books. I have an email there too.
And then your third book in the series, when is that one coming out? Do you have an actual date?
It's a toss-up between July and August. I'm aiming for July. Early July would be great, but I'm leaving the door open in case I need to make sure it is as good as can be. So it could be August. We'll see.
Okay, awesome. Well, that means that they will be able to read all books, boom, 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 back after back after back. So it's gonna be perfect. All right, Jack. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I had so much fun.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for having me on.
Jack and I had so much fun talking about his book, and we definitely hit on a lot of stuff after we were done recording, unfortunately, because there was some information that I really wanted to know, but I didn't want to give you guys too many spoilers. So the video content on the viewer tier in Patreon definitely will have some more content that I had to take out of this episode. So if you want to see the extra little content, definitely go over to patreon.com/readitwithwhiskey and join as a viewer. You'll be able to get that video content within about a month of release of the audio episode. So as you know, season 2 is going to be all fantasy and sci-fi. So we started off with episode 1 being fantasy with Jack Casey's The Royal Green. So in 2 weeks, when we bring our second episode of the season, we'll be talking sci-fi. And we will be interviewing Nathaniel DeZago. He is the author of Krites of Battle, Celestra. It is a young adult space-themed, space opera-type book, and it is very interesting, some of the topics that we dive into. We talked for a very, very long time, and I had to take out some of the content from the audio version, so you guys definitely want to jump into the video version for his episode as well. But we'll be talking to him all about his book in 2 weeks' time. Next week, tune in for a little Laura J. Live update. And as always, thank you so much for listening in, and thank you so much for supporting this podcast and supporting indie and self-published authors. We will see you next time. You've been listening to an episode of Read It With Whiskey. I am your host, Laura Gentinen, and I just wanted to personally hop in and say thank you so much for listening. Your support of the podcast means so much to me, and I would really appreciate it if you could go onto your favorite podcast platform and rate and review the show. By rating the show, you're going to help more people find the podcast so then we can grow. Once you review the show, share it on your social media, share your favorite episode with your friends, and come back next time to hear more from self-published authors. I'll talk to you soon.